Today's readings present us with the contrast between good and evil. Or since God is good and anything that opposes God is evil, it's the contrast between cooperation with God, following God, and opposing God. In the first reading, it's the prophet Amos reminding us that we're called to goodness, not evil. And our goodness is not merely to be a show of goodness with feasts and solemnities and songs, sacrifices, but goodness from the heart, justice, and obedience. So that's Amos. Then in the gospel, the contrast is much sharper because it's two possessed men encountering Jesus, who is goodness itself. As I was reflecting on these two demoniacs, my first thought was, well, just 2 days ago we celebrated Peter and Paul, two of the holiest, two of the greatest saints, pillars of the church, and here we have two possessed men. Like, the contrast could hardly be greater. Two very good, holy men, two very wicked, possessed men. But then what came to my mind was that terrible news from last week, that school shooting in Tacloban. I'm sure you heard about it. I was gathered with the priests at the time, and when the news broke that two teenagers had entered their school with guns and started shooting, it was very disturbing to the priests, because a lot of the priests have schools in their parishes or are responsible for schools. And it's probably more disturbing to any parent or any grandparent who has school-age children, because that the high school in Tacloban was just an ordinary public high school. It could be any school. So those two teenagers, one was 15, one was 14, or is 15 or 14, They killed three students and they injured 20 others. So unlike other terrible news, like news of an earthquake or something, this is clearly evil actions done by children. It's very disturbing to us. Partly because this could happen anywhere. I mean, in the United States, sadly, these things happen with some regularity. In the Philippines, it almost never happens. I don't know of any cases like this. But the question comes up, well, what happened? What happened? What happened to these boys? How could anyone be that evil? From what I gather, the public discussion, there's a lot of talk about this school shooting and what to be done about it. Some lawmakers have even proposed that they should lower the age of criminal liability so that these boys can be tried as adults. That seems to me the wrong understanding of where evil comes from. It's not as if these boys made themselves evil at age 14 years old. No, something else is at work. Others have pointed out the effect of bullying, probably bullying in the school, but also bullying online. And then others have pointed out the effect of very violent video games, which apparently these boys are into. Very violent games in which, in the games themselves, the whole point is to kill people with powerful weapons. And, you know, you fill a child with that kind of thing every day, hours every day, and what's going to happen? So I think those are all relevant factors. I think another question would be, who are the parents of these boys? Who's raising these children? What influences are there? But what no one seems to have mentioned is the influence of evil spirits. Maybe people can't talk about that in the news, but since we're reading a gospel today about two possessed men, we have to ask the question, well, what are evil spirits doing? Now, I'm not saying those two boys were possessed. I haven't heard that from anyone, but certainly there are evil spirits behind evil actions. There are always evil spirits who are tempting and provoking evil actions. In the case of these two men in the gospel, they were possessed, so they were dominated by evil spirits. In fact, the other account of this story in Mark's gospel says that there were 2,000 swine. So there were, we say, thousands of evil spirits possessing these men. When we're talking about possession, that's an unusual case. Evil spirits can't simply possess someone by their initiative. They're not given that power. They have to be given an opening. In adults, these men in the gospel are adults, they did something to welcome evil spirits, whether it was in order to gain power, whether it was in order to gain retaliation against someone else, they wanted some evil to be done to others, or whether they were holding out against God because they didn't get their will, whatever it was, they opened themselves to the power of evil spirits. And this does happen. In the case of children, they can't do that themselves. Their parents or the guardians have to make some kind of deal with evil spirits. So it's a reality, not that common, but a reality that has to be addressed. They say, the exorcists now say, there are many, many more cases of demonic possession and demonic influence in the world. The demons, they have the, if they're given free rein, they are violent and destructive. It says these men were so savage that no one could travel by that road. And this is the way evil goes. If you give space to evil, you become more evil. Now, whenever we sin, it's true, whenever we sin, we give in to evil to some degree. It doesn't mean we're possessed, but we're giving some space to the influence of evil. And insofar as we do that, we reduce ourselves. We lose our freedom. We lose our dignity to some degree. These men, to an extreme degree, they were destructive of others and harmful to themselves, living among the tombs. They're kind of a living dead. What happens? Along comes Jesus. As horrible as evil is, as horrible as the prospect of demonic possession is, in the presence of Jesus, there's a light so powerful that darkness cannot remain in charge. Go then. Go then. That's all he says. Go then. And all the evil spirits are driven out of the man and enter the swine. The swine rush into the sea and drown. That self-destructive principle takes over irrational beasts. Now, God allowed that to be. The evil spirits don't care about swine, as swine are unclean animals, but they don't care whether swine live or die. God decided to make that a manifestation of what evil does. It's self-destructive. It's suicidal. And anytime we give in to evil, we're taking a step in the direction of self-destruction. So after the swine drowned, those evil spirits had to go somewhere else. Now, it doesn't say that they went into the townspeople, but there's at least a hint that something went wrong, because the town people come rushing out to meet Jesus, and instead of welcoming him, they oppose him. Something wrong at the last line of this gospel. When they saw him, they begged him to leave their district. He comes to drive out evil. They come to drive out goodness. It's a very sad ending. Anyway, it's an instruction to us on good and evil, and on the importance of always resisting evil, even in its small forms, because you can't give a foothold to forces that are beyond our control. What we do give a foothold to, or what we do want to open ourselves to, is the power of God, the love of God, the wisdom of God, the mercy of God in Jesus Christ, fully revealed in Jesus Christ. When we submit to him, then goodness reigns, light is victorious. It's a great story. In the encounter between good and evil, goodness wins. Beautiful. Now let's turn to Amos here. Amos also encourages, in a very fundamental way, the pursuit of goodness. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. Goodness is the way to live. Evil is a way to die. That's very basic principle. But then the Lord says through the prophet, I spurn your feasts. I take no pleasure in your solemnities. I'm not looking for lots of ritual fulfillment here. I'm not looking for superficial goodness. The prophets often say this because in the history of the people of Israel, and in fact in our own history, it's a comfortable substitute to say, I'll put on some display of goodness, and maybe that's good enough. Then I don't have to give up all my sins. I don't have to change that much if I just go to Mass or if I just do some a novena or something. The Lord is not satisfied with a superficial displays of holiness. He wants a change of heart. I hesitate to bring up this example, but it seems fitting, and so I'll just mention it. I don't want to judge too quickly, but you know, today is the day that the traditionalists have declared they're going to ordain more bishops, a traditionalist society, Society of St. Pius X. They're excellent at rituals. They're very reverent and beautiful. Beautiful vestments, beautiful music. You've got to give them credit. They do all that very well. But now they're publicly declaring they're going to directly disobey the Pope. They're going to directly incur upon themselves an automatic excommunication. And that's not beautiful. That's simply not beautiful. So for all their claims to being defenders of tradition, the danger here, and as I say, I can't judge it, I don't know what God knows, but we could apply this first reading to this sort of attitude. Here they're putting on a beautiful ceremony, a holy, solemn ceremony. And the Lord, when he sees disobedience, says, I don't want ceremonies. I don't want feasts. I hate your feasts. If you would offer me burnt offerings, then let justice surge like water and goodness like an unfailing stream. Kind of generic way of saying, be good, not evil. In the case of people who are claiming to represent the Catholic faith, we cannot represent the Catholic faith in division from the Holy Father. That's what it means to be Catholic. It means to be united with the Pope. So that's the very sad, very tragic decision that the traditionalists are making today, to defy, to disobey the Pope. Now we pray that they're simply blind to what they're doing, that their conscience isn't bad, that they're not, I'm sure they're not deliberately doing evil, but objectively there's something seriously wrong here. Okay, well, let's look at ourselves. We think we're right all the time. That's our twisted way of understanding ourselves. Or when we're in the self-condemnation mode, we think that we can't do anything right. No. We can do what's good. We are responsible. In fact, we're more responsible than a 14-year-old boy with a gun. We have freedom, and we can make decisions to submit ourselves to the will of God. And that's what we're called to do. That's goodness. Whether we like it or not, whether we like the consequences or not, isn't the issue. We belong to God. We're children of God. So let us turn to the Lord and let him be in charge. And when he's in charge, then light scatters the darkness. Then God, the power of God, overcomes all evil.